has done for his people. Let's turn to him this morning in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, what a blessing it is to be together again, knowing that, Lord, it is you that we have come to worship. It is a blessing to be here with family and with friends. It is a blessing, Lord, to know that you have provided for your children throughout the ages and that you have always been faithful to them. And now in this morning hour as we gather on this traditional Sunday that we worship, and yet a special one in our hearts because we know it is the time that we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the time that we celebrate the incarnation, God becoming flesh and dwelling with man and showing us how to live. And so, Lord, as we review and read and think upon the events of that night, that time long ago, we would ask a blessing upon our being together. Bless the word as we read it, and bless the thoughts of our hearts as we meditate upon what we have read, and consider what you would have us to do in response to the great love that you have shown unto us. So as we, Lord, have come, may we not only remember those things that happened long ago, but, Lord, may they not be simply history for us. May it not be simply a recitation of those things that would cause us simply to remember, but also may it challenge us to live our lives better because of your grace and your love and your mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. I've chosen for my text this morning the story out of the second chapter of Luke. So if we can turn to Luke chapter 2. It's about the birth of Jesus and the shepherds and the angels that follow and make known that story to the world around them. So we'll read the first 21 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Read through the 21st verse. A story that many of us know quite well, a story that from childhood up, we imagine the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a babe, where God made known unto mankind that he was sending his only begotten Son, a Son that was prophesied that there would be a Redeemer in Israel, and of the lineage of David, of the house of David, as we're told here, that there would be one who would reign on his throne forever. And indeed, that is what we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I especially like the part of the story where it talks about the shepherds and the angels, and what a beautiful night that must have been out there in the quiet of the hillside, where it was made known all of a sudden, a multitude, we're not told how many of these angels or this heavenly host that was praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. And we all know that at that time there was not a good deal of peace. Israel was under foreign rule. The Romans had control over them. And yet the angels came and proclaimed peace and goodwill toward men. And the angels that were gone away into heaven, the shepherds went then into Bethlehem to see this thing which the Lord had made known unto them. God didn't share the message with the religious leaders or the rulers of the time. God did not make it known to the powers that be, the leaders of the city, and so forth. God made it known to the shepherds, and the shepherds, we're told, were certainly curious, and they wanted to see, and we're told they made haste, and they found Joseph and Mary and the babe lying in a manger. And that must have been quite something. How do you find a situation like this? Where do you start? But clearly they must have had some sense, or they simply went around hunting. Haven't you heard? We had this beautiful vision, this beautiful multitude of angels, these heavenly hosts that told us there was a child born. Where is he? Don't you know? And certainly they had to go through and find this child. And we're told that when they saw this in verse 17, when they had seen it, they made it known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. This is the one, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's the message that they took to their friends, to their families, to those in Bethlehem. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. How believable were these men? How believable were these boys, probably, who were watching the sheep out there on the hillside at night to keep the sheep safe from danger and from any lions or other animals that might prey upon them? We're told, though, that when they all heard these things by the shepherds, they made known abroad. They shared the good news. And so it started. The wonder that God had shared with his people, the wonder that God had shared with the nations thereafter, and we, the inheritors of those who got that early and that first message, we today get the same message, that indeed there is, through this Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is peace and there is goodwill toward men when people believe upon him. And we're told that the shepherds returned, they glorified God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told. told unto them. They did not keep the message to themselves, but they shared it with others because it was such a beautiful message. And maybe they didn't understand everything prophetically and all of those things that from the olden times were told about the one who would come. We do know that they nevertheless took the message out and they shared it. I asked myself the question, what would have life been like had Jesus not come? You ever thought about that? We kind of take it for granted and we take the story as it's written here and believe what the scripture says and we take it literally. But what would it have been like had Jesus not come at that time? What would have happened to the prophecies of old? Where would the people of that day and everything that we read in not only the book of Luke, but the many books of the Bible, of the New Testament that follow the book of Luke in this story, where would all of that have gone? Or would there have been any of that for us today? What if Jesus had not come to earth? What if Jesus had not been born? What if God did not choose to share Himself with us in human flesh? You ever think about that? What would be some of the consequences to you today if Jesus had not been born? I jotted down a number of things that, at least to me, that I thought in ways that my life would be different if Jesus had not been born. And I'd ask you to do the same thing today, perhaps at lunchtime with your families or sometime when you can discuss it. What if Jesus had not been born? Would we have direct access to the throne of God? Would we be able to pray directly to God with no intercessor? Jesus is our intercessor. Between us and God, we can go directly to God's throne through the Lord Jesus Christ. What would happen to our prayers? How would we know that God hears us? In the old days, in Old Testament times, all of that was done through priests. And priests were those who offered sacrifices for people's sins. Which brings up a whole nother issue. Where would my sins be today? Past and present sins. Where would your sins be if Jesus had not been born? Would you be making sacrifices annually for your sins and for those of your family? How would that go? What would that be like? It certainly would be very different. And much of the guilt that people have over sins and those sorts of negative things, they're not taken away by the blood of Christ because there would have been no Christ. Jesus was accused in his ministry by the religious leaders of being a friend of sinners because he hung around with sinners. He stayed with people who needed freedom from their sins. Jesus said, you know, those who are well don't need a physician. It's the sick. It's the sinners who need help and who need healing and who need prayer. And where would we be today if Jesus were not that friend? A friend that sticks closer than a brother, even as the psalmist stated it. Where would we be if Jesus was not a friend? Where would we be if Jesus were not there to reach down his hand and to call us into the kingdom of God? How would you know about the kingdom of God? We're not Jewish for the most part. Maybe a few of your background, I don't know. I don't believe I am. How would we even know these things? Which brings up a whole other issue. You go to the 15th chapter of John where it talks about the branches and those who are grafted in, and we are grafted in. Not being of the house of Israel, not being of God's chosen people in the national sense, where would we be today? And would we be a part of that Jewish tradition or that Jewish family of Israel where Jesus condemned much of what those men taught and the way they acted, Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of his times because of their hypocrisy. And even when they did get converts and they proselytized and people came in, and Jesus said they made them seven times worse than they were before. Would we be seven times worse than we are today if we had converted under the Jewish leadership had Jesus not been born? Or would we have even had a chance to know the gospel? Would anybody have any good news to share with us? Because the good news is Jesus, and there was no Jesus, there is no good news. And there is no calling. And there is no sharing of the gospel. And there is no haste out there to shed abroad, to make known those things which were concerning this child, because there isn't any child. And what about all of those prophecies of the Old Testament about a coming Redeemer, about a Savior in Israel, one who would take away the sins of his people, and one who would be on the throne of David forever? None of that would have proven true. None of that would have come to pass. What would that have done to the credibility of the Scripture? We can look back into the Old Testament and we can see all of these various themes of the Lord Jesus Christ in almost every story that we read. And we can see how God worked through his people. And whether we're talking about the life of Abraham or Moses or David or any of the old patriarchs, Jesus can be seen. The life of Jesus can be seen in these people. The teachings of Jesus and the way to live can be seen. None of that would have been fulfilled. None of that would be possible without this baby who was born those many years ago. Would we have an example to live righteously? Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that the Scripture of old would give us direction. And there's plenty in the Old Testament that would show us how we should live before God. But Jesus brought that to us most directly in the Sermon on the Mount, in his teachings to the people, and how they should live with one another, and what their relationship should be like, and how they should pray to God, and what they should do for and with one another. Do you realize there would be no way of salvation as we know it today? That there would be no opportunity to simply believe and thou shalt be saved. There would be no manner of grace as we have come to understand it, as Jesus taught, and as Jesus reached out his hand of mercy and love to people. That would have not been the case. It would have been much more complicated than that to convert to Judaism, to follow the paths that the traditions of men had followed. And we would be keeping the law instead of living under grace. That would be a terrible thing and a very extremely difficult way to live. And would any of us be able to keep it all? No. Every one of us would fall short. Every one of us would fall short of expectations. Well, that's not to say that we don't fall short of expectations today, but we have the grace of God, we have the love of Jesus, we have his intercession, we have his death upon the cross that takes away all of those sins, his sacrifice once, and it was done. And we are the beneficiaries of that. We would be living in spiritual darkness if Christ were not born. Jesus said, I am the light. And there are many places and parables and scripture in the New Testament where Jesus is the light, where he shows the path and he directs the way. And when there is no light, there's only darkness. And we would be living spiritually in darkness without the light of the world. Or what about the living water that Jesus compared himself to? The woman at the well who came and who was drawing water, and Jesus wanted her to draw some water for him, and he had nothing to draw it with. And she was willing to do it for him, and Jesus said, look, if you just ask for the living water, you will never thirst again. And then she asked, well, how are you going to give me this water? You don't have anything to draw it with, and so on. And he explains it to her. The living water, the quenching of thirst, the desire to have what? A spiritual awakening and a spiritual satisfaction of knowing the truth of God and knowing his righteousness and his ways. And you will never thirst again. There is nothing else that can give us greater satisfaction in life than the love that God has shown unto us. And there is no continual searching for what is the truth and where is the truth and who is the truth and what's it all about and is there anything absolute in regard to truth. We have all of that in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what if he had not been born? Where would that truth be? Would we all be seeking to have our spiritual thirst quenched in whatever direction we happen to go or find some way, whether it was, it would be very difficult to put it mildly. And our thirst would not be quenched. Only through Jesus is that thirst quenched. There would be no great physician. Jesus has been called the great physician. And as we have been reading a number of sermons from the book of Mark, we saw and we learned about the healing that Jesus engaged in. And there would have been none of those stories. But perhaps as importantly throughout history, there would have been none of the people that have been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. None of that would have taken place. People would have been left to their own resources or the intercession of the priest for them to God, or what have you. It would have been extremely difficult. There would have been no great physician for physical healing, for mental and emotional healing. That wouldn't have been possible because there wouldn't have been the Lord to do that. Without him, we also would not know the truth. Jesus said that he is the truth. And another place we're told that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not knowing the truth, not knowing that Jesus is the one through whom we can come to God, through whom we must come to God, we would be trying all different sorts of ways, and we would never come to the knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Paul dealt with that issue when he was on the hill of Areopagus with the philosophers, and they saw all of these idols, all of these things to these various gods that the Greeks had. They didn't want to miss anybody. They even had one to the unknown God, and that's the one the Apostle Paul preached and taught about, the one that they did not know. They had all of these other gods. And Paul didn't say, well, you got part of the truth here and some of it here, and if you just put it all together and synthesize it in some way, you'll really come up with the right. No, he didn't say anything like that. He dismissed all of those things and said the unknown God is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the God creator of heaven and earth. That is the true and the living God. Would he have known that? Would he have known that had Jesus not been born? Would he have even been around and preached any of that had Jesus not been born? Would he have persecuted the early church before his conversion had Jesus not been born? Many things would have been different. They would have been very different. Jesus also said that he was the way. We would not know the way had there been no Jesus. We would not know the way of salvation. Jesus said also, I am the life, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. What kind of lives would we have? Would there be anything absolute in our lives? Perhaps there would be in terms of the Old Testament teachings and our understanding of God had we come under that influence, or even as it's talked about in the first chapter of Romans, where people throughout the world, throughout history, have always recognized a power higher than themselves. Would that have simply been the way our lives would have been? I do not know. Jesus also is the true vine. Would we be grafted in to the church of God? That's talked about in the in the 15th chapter of John. And I would just like to read this very briefly and consider, if Jesus was not born, what this passage would have been like. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Without Jesus, would we have even been a branch on that tree? Without Jesus, would we be bearing any fruit of any sort at all? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. No abiding in Christ, no fruit. Very simple, Jesus says. And I would go, and no Christ, there would be no abiding, and there would be no fruit. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. And had he not been born, what would our lives have amounted to? You know the word, nothing. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth, and so on. Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Oh, we would have probably had some human joys now and then, but we would not have the joy of living a purposeful, sanctified life in Christ had he not been born. Our lives would not have been full. Our joy would not have been full. And perhaps most importantly, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Our example of loving one another would be purely on human terms, or terms that would be consistent with Old Testament teaching. Yes, you loved your brother. Yes, you loved your friends, but you hated your enemies. And that would not be the way to live. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. You ever thought about the Lamb's Book of Life? Revelation talks about our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My emphasis here is on the Lamb part, the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if there was no Lamb, if there was no Jesus, if he had not been born, would there be a Lamb's Book of Life? Would we have any assurance of salvation? And my response to that is no, we would not. There would be no Lamb's Book of Life because there was no Lamb. And it has implications for even understanding our future in eternal terms. Would our names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? There had to be a Lamb if that were the case. And if there were no Lamb, if Jesus had not been born, if Jesus had not come and showed us the way to live, how to live righteously, how to live among one another, and how to live to please God, we would have no assurance and no ability or understanding of what it means to live eternally. And we would just, I suspect at best, hope that things worked out. Hope that we did enough, sacrificed enough, or whatever it was we would be doing to have eternal life. But there would have been no Lamb's Book of Life. Well, these are just a number of the areas that came to my mind as I thought about this idea. What if Jesus had not been born? What if those prophecies that were made of old never came true? What if those things did not happen as they were predicted, as they were shown and promised through those men of God, men and women of God, who brought forth the word and who shared with the people in their day? But I'm thankful. I am very thankful, and I trust that you are too, that this story, this event that we kind of take for granted, that we learn as little children in Sunday school, and that most of us have come to appreciate at some level and recognize it, and it's nice and it's cute and it's a great story and so on, recognize the implications that go way beyond the initial story into the life of Christ and what this world would be missing. I mean, even our calendar would be different. We would not have the same calendar AD after the birth of Christ and BC before the birth of Christ. Our calendar would be different. And there are many other things I'm sure that you can think of that would also be different had Christ not been born. So may this be an encouragement to us to remember what great things God has blessed His people with and the opportunities we have in the world around us to do as the shepherds and to share the Word of God and to proclaim His righteousness and the truths that God had shared with His people. He shared them with the shepherds first, and it goes from there. He talked at the end of the book of Matthew about going into the world and sharing the gospel and presenting what we know to be the truth. May God bless the word to us this morning, and may that be our challenge.